Nation.
Rhetoric, accountability, energy lawsuit. I'm Barbara Cusack. The deadly attacks on two mosques in New Zealand that claimed 49 lives sent shockwaves through Muslim communities worldwide. Correspondent Steve Kastenbaum reports says some Muslims in the U.S. see a connection between the shootings and President Trump's rhetoric.
While the mosque shootings happened on the other side of the world, Nihad Awad, founder of the Council on American-Islamic Relations, is holding President Trump responsible.
During your presidency and during your election campaign, Islamophobia took a sharp rise.
He said attacks on mosques and Muslims have been on the rise around the world.
Your words matter. Your policies matter. They impact the lives of innocent people.
President Trump's initial reaction to the attacks on Twitter was an offer of condolences and help from the U.S. Awad said it should have been a forceful condemnation of a blatant hate crime.
President Trump noted illegal immigrant holding cells are running short on space as he vetoed a measure aimed at blocking his emergency declaration at the southern border.
We're at a point where we're just going to have to say with these horrible decisions that we've been handed by people that aren't living in reality that there's nothing we can do. There's absolutely nothing we can do. We're bursting at the seams.
The Energy Department plans to roll back efforts to eliminate incandescent light bulbs and keep them available along with more energy-efficient LED bulbs. National Resources Defense Council Director Noah Horowitz says legal action will be taken.
They cost consumers an extra $12 billion a year to operate, and we're using 25 more power plants worth of electricity to keep those inefficient bulbs illuminated. And that's causing about 34 million extra tons of carbon dioxide, the main pollutant responsible for global warming.
A climate protest in New York City yesterday netted 16 arrests for blocking traffic in front of the American Museum of Natural History. I'm Barbara Cusack.
Stocks and options trading involves financial risk and is not suitable for all investors.
Hey guys, it's Scott Bauer here, CEO of Prosper Trading Academy. Are you looking for a super hot stock tip? Here at Prosper, we are always looking for exciting opportunities in the markets. And right now, all my students are salivating over this stock we are watching. In fact, I've got this hot stock written down right here, and I'm about to text it to you for free. I just need to know where to send it. Simply text HOT to 48542, and I'll text it to you instantly. How do I know this stock is so hot? Well, I'm a former CBOE market maker for Amazon Options, former vice president of Goldman Sachs, and I have over 25 years of professional trading experience. I'm telling you, this stock is hot. But be warned, the stock may move soon, so you need to claim it before it does. Text HOT to 48542, and I'll text you this hot stock instantly. Text HOT to 48542, and I'll text you this hot stock instantly. Message and data rates may apply.
Facebook says it's rolling out new technology aimed at fighting revenge porn, as correspondent Jim Roop explains.
The new technology includes machine learning artificial intelligence that, in theory, will block nude photos before they're shared without permission on both Facebook and Instagram. This follows the company's photo matching technology tested earlier. In that experiment, users were asked to send in intimate photos so the software can recognize you in order to protect you. This, we understand, is different and does not require a matching photo.
The EPA issued a final rule to prohibit the manufacture, import, processing, and distribution of methylene chloride in all paint removers for consumer use. But the EPA action stopped short of banning commercial use of the product by tradespeople. The prohibition on consumer sales of the product containing methylene chloride starts 180 days after the effective date of that final rule. I'm Barbara Cusack. Come on, kids.
Sundays on WMAL. Starting at 5 a.m., it's VA Sunday Magazine. At 5:30, hear the Chris McKay Show. At 6, it's Purity Products. And at 6:30, Chris McKay returns. At 7, it's Heroes Talk Radio with David Ahrens. At 8, it's the Eric Stewart Show pointing you home. And at 8:30, it's Senior Solutions. Hear the Wise Investor at 9. The Underwriter's Corner at 11. Dr. Tom Rozelle live at noon. Right on Retirement at 1. The Del Walmsley Show at 2. Mortgage Radio at 3. And Real Estate Today at 7 on WMAL.
Come on, kids. We're late.
Honey, the car won't start.
Mom, the dog just sat on my science project.
Life can be stressful, but getting life insurance shouldn't be. That's why there's Ethos. Ethos is a modern kind of life insurance that's super fast, incredibly affordable, and very uncomplicated. At GetEthos.com, there are no medical exams for policies covering under $1 million, no hours of paperwork or meetings with pushy representatives. It only takes 10 minutes to apply, and you can rest assured knowing you've taken steps to protect your family. And in most cases, with Ethos, you can have that peace of mind for less than a cup of coffee a day, with no hidden fees. Having life insurance can free you from stress. Getting life insurance shouldn't cause it. Discover how uncomplicated life insurance can be at Ethos. Get your free instant quote and submit your complete application in minutes. Just go to GetEthos.com. That's ETHOS. GetEthos.com. GetEthos.com.
Spring is just around the corner, but it's not here yet, so stay out of the elements and use Spot Hero to find and reserve the closest parking spot to your destination. Spot Hero saves you the time and hassle of finding a parking spot. Whether you're headed to work, a night out with friends, or even to the airport to catch a flight, Spot Hero has you covered. Simply download the app, type in your destination, and pick your spot. Plus, you'll get a great deal. Take $10 off your first park on the app with promo code DISTRICT. That's promo code DISTRICT. Spot Hero. Park smarter.
Why are you checking your phone?
I'm so sorry. Let me just finish this up. There. I placed a trade for tomorrow morning. Boom.
Wow, I didn't know you did that.
Yeah, I've been taking classes at Online Trading Academy.
Really?
I was just feeling really stuck, you know, frustrated, trying to get ahead. But they taught me some really great skills, and I'm loving it. They've taught me all these new strategies designed to produce income and grow my retirement savings.
It's Online Trading Academy?
They're a world leader in teaching people how to become traders and investors.
You think I can learn this?
I mean, of course. I was just glad I signed up for their free class to see if Online Trading Academy was right for me. They show you all kinds of different strategies you can learn to make money trading and investing and to adapt to the market, whether it's going up or down.
How do I get started?
Online Trading Academy invites you to their next free class. If you call 877-304-TRADE right now and register, they'll send you a free online video course so you can start learning right away. 877-304-TRADE. 877-304-TRADE. Or OTAClass.com. 877-304-TRADE. Or OTAClass.com.
Is your will updated? And do you have a good basic estate plan in place so your family is protected, just in case? Listen this Saturday morning at 9 on WMAL to Legally Speaking, where attorney Mike Collins will answer any question you may have about wills or estate planning. That's Legally Speaking, Saturday at 9. To learn more, log on to WMAL.com and search Legally Speaking. That's WMAL.com. Search Legally Speaking.
Now, the Saturday morning update. 105.9 FM. At AM 630.
WMAL. Good morning. It is the Saturday morning update. I'm Rick Fowler. Jeff Wolf is behind the console. Jane Houghton, our producer this morning. And in a few minutes, we'll have the very latest on developments in New Zealand in the wake of the mosque shootings that has taken 49 lives. We will get to that shortly. Do want to lead off with the situation, though, with President Trump's veto, something that's been talked about ad nauseum now for weeks, and he finally issued his very first veto on Friday, and that was in rejection of the resolution passed by the House and Senate to end his national emergency declaration for the southern border. Talking points from the Democrats is that it's a constitutional crisis and that the president is overstepping his bounds. I would remind Democrats, obviously, that it is an emergency on the border. The situation has worsened recently. I guess it all depends on your definition of an emergency. But there is a crisis on the border. Another reminder for Democrats is that if it's such an egregious move that the president is making, you can override the veto. It's that bad. Override the veto. Man is trying to secure the border. It is a legitimate reason. The attorney general feels the same way. We'll get to his comments shortly. It's not like he declared a national emergency to build a Trump Tower in Moscow or something like that. This is a problem on the border. It's a humanitarian crisis. And if you've seen some of the images there, how the Democrats can ignore the humanitarian crisis component to it, simply to deny President Trump a campaign promise, non comprende. Do not understand. Well, there was an event at the White House. I'm not sure that there's typically an event that is populated with different supporters when you sign a veto, but that's the way they did it at the White House yesterday. And the president making the following comments about his veto.
The protection of the nation is my highest duty. Yesterday, Congress passed a dangerous resolution that, if signed into law, would put countless Americans in danger, very grave danger. The Democrat-sponsored resolution would terminate vital border security operations by revoking the national emergency issued last month. It is definitely a national emergency. Rarely have we had such a national emergency. Therefore, to defend the safety and security of all Americans, I will be signing and issuing a formal veto of this reckless resolution, and that's what it was.
And the president obviously continuing his war against the Democrats over the past few months on the entire border issue.
Congress's vote to deny the crisis on the southern border is a vote against reality. It's against reality. It is a tremendous national emergency. It is a tremendous crisis. Last month, more than 76,000 illegal migrants arrived at our border. We're on track for 1 million illegal aliens to rush our borders. People hate the word invasion, but that's what it is. It's an invasion of drugs and criminals and people. We have no idea who they are, but we capture them because border security is so good. But they're put in a very bad position, and we're bursting at the seams, literally bursting at the seams. What Border Patrol's able to do is incredible.
And I want to get one more from the president in making his comments, because in Trump fashion, he expresses his pride in vetoing the resolution.
The national emergency I declared last month was authorized by Congress under the 1976 National Emergencies Act. And there haven't been too many that are a bigger emergency than we have right at our own border. Consistent with the law and the legislative process designed by our founders, today I am vetoing this resolution. Congress has the freedom to pass this resolution, and I have the duty to veto it, and I'm very proud to veto it.
And here's a note on the Attorney General, William Barr. He has comments, and if you've had questions in your own mind as to, is the president overstepping his bounds, and I do get the point that if the Congress will not fund something the president wants, it is a little awkward for him to upend the Congress. I understand that argument, but I think in this case it's obvious that there is a crisis and an emergency on the border. So if you've been kind of wondering about it and you're a little bit on the fence, which way should this go, is he really overstepping his bounds or not? The Attorney General explains it quite succinctly. Here's William Barr.
Mr. President, your declaration of an emergency on the southern border was clearly authorized under the law and consistent with past precedent. As you said, the National Emergencies Act directly authorized broad discretionary authority to the president to identify and respond to emergent circumstances that require a decisive response. And the humanitarian and security crisis we have on the border right now is exactly the kind of emergency that presidents are permitted to address under the National Emergencies Act. As you alluded to yourself, in the past 40 years, there have been 59 emergencies declared. And many of these have dealt with political conditions in countries like Burundi, Sierra Leone, Belarus. The crisis that we're dealing with today is right on our doorstep, and it presents a real, clear, and present danger to the American people. So what you've done from a legal standpoint is solidly grounded in law, and from the standpoint of protecting the American people, it's imperative.
And that's a look at the Very latest developments on the border barrier and the presidential veto yesterday afternoon issued at the White House. I want to turn to New Zealand. This is the latest on that situation, of course, where 49 were killed in the attack on two mosques. The police commissioner in New Zealand, Mike Bush, says that authorities have no information about any other imminent threats in the country, but that everyone should continue to be vigilant in the wake of those mass shootings. He told a news conference that the investigation into the attacks was wide-ranging and ongoing. When asked if they believed the same person was responsible for both attacks, he said he couldn't go into details, but, quote, "we know nothing that will contradict what you've just suggested." Police say the family of the suspect is helping their investigation, says the officers are investigating to help the New Zealand police and to ensure the safety of residents in the Australian state where the suspect, Brenton Tarrant, is from. Tarrant's family is from the northern New South Wales town of Grafton and actually contacted the police after seeing the media reports. And the suspect did appear briefly in court. Two armed guards brought Tarrant into court on Saturday. He showed no expression as the district court judge, Paul Keller, read one charge of murder to him. Court appearance lasting only about a minute. He was led back out in handcuffs. He will return to the court again on April 5th. 6:17, it is the Saturday morning update on WMAL, and time for a check of the traffic and weather. Michelle Murray is in the WMAL Traffic Center this morning.
In Virginia, things improving on 95 southbound. There is an accident southbound before Baplick Road, but now just the left lane is blocked and the pace is starting to improve in the area, but still expect some delays as you make your way through. Now in Leesburg, keep in mind that Cyclone Road is closed in both directions right at Shreve Mill Road because of a pole and wires down. You'll need to seek an alternate route there. And in the district, keep in mind there is weekend road work. A ramp closure from southbound DC 295 to Pennsylvania Avenue will be closed throughout the weekend. Now from GarageDoorRepair.com, the WMAL Weather Channel forecast.
For today, it looks partly cloudy with a high of 53. Sunshine tomorrow, high 52. Clouds on Monday will be up to 48. Sunny on Tuesday, high 49. A little warmer on Wednesday, cloudy with a high of 55. Overnight lows will be in the low to mid-30s for the next 5 nights. So no more freezing temperatures, at least for the next few days here in the Washington area. It has been quite breezy, though. Right now in Washington, 45 degrees at 6:18 on the Saturday morning update.
Washington's Mall, WMAL, where Washington comes to talk.
It is the Saturday morning update. Obviously, a lot to cover today. Beto is in the race. We'll get to that in a second, but just a quick rundown of what's coming up on the program. We will talk with Jennifer Harper coming up right after the 6:30 news. We'll have an interesting conversation with Charlie Copeland, and he's with one of the conservative think tanks, and a look at what's going on college campuses and the conservative movement, and really, free speech is being shut down on many of the campuses, and an interesting conversation with Charlie and what they're doing about it. John Gizzi will join us later on in the 7 o'clock hour. And with John this morning, we're going to knock around this whole notion of a presidential veto and put it in perspective. And also, John, at the first White House press briefing that had been held in 42 days, he asked a question that made news, and we'll find out what that was. That's coming up on the Saturday morning update. We've got Lieutenant Colonel Tony Schaefer. We're going to talk with Tony about that attack on the mosque in New Zealand and also talk with Tony about the latest on North Korea and the latest on the revelations from the Peter Strzok testimony and also the Lisa Page testimony, what all of that means in the investigation into how the Department of Justice handled the Trump campaign, handled the entire issue of collusion, quote-unquote, and also the Hillary Clinton email investigation. So we'll have an interesting chat coming up with Tony Schaefer. And also, we will get Cheryl Atkinson's perspective on some of those revelations in the testimony and also interesting information on MS-13. Full Measure is her show, of course, tomorrow on ABC7. And they actually interviewed some MS-13 gang members in Honduras. And I think you may find that interesting. And, you know, you hear about MS-13, but the brutality, you may have heard about the murder in Stafford County. Five MS-13 gang members have been charged with murder, the victim being stabbed over 100 times in that attack. So MS-13 discussion coming up in the 7 o'clock hour. It is 20 after 6, and Beto is in the race, Beto O'Rourke. And a lot of people are kind of saying, well, you know, what's his accomplishment? He did 6 years in Congress, and then he ran for Senate, and he didn't win over Ted Cruz, came within 3%. A lot of Democratic money pumped in from all over the country. And, you know, I get to thinking about it, and Beto O'Rourke is kind of like the Kim Kardashian here of the presidential campaign, you know? No known accomplishments in their career, but somehow rise to not only national celebrity, but almost like an overnight icon. I mean, Nancy Pelosi couldn't name any of his accomplishments. People can't tell you what he's done. Well, one thing he's done is to become the darling. And interesting guy. And, of course, in a situation like this, everyone is dissecting every word the guy says. Now, you may remember on November 5th, Beto said, no, he would not run for president. Well, he changed his tune yesterday. Now, this is just a little bit of his announcement, and he's seated on the couch with his wife. But the self-importance that he conveys in this message, I don't know if it hits you the same way, but it's like, you know, this is the most important thing in the world, and he's going to save the world now that he's getting into the race. Just listen to what he says here.
Amy and I are happy to share with you that I'm running to serve you as the next president of the United States of America. This is a defining moment of truth for this country and for every single one of us. This moment of peril produces perhaps the greatest moment of promise for this country and for everyone inside of it.
He is the greatest promise. This is the defining moment. Him sitting on the couch with his wife announcing that he's going to get into the race. That is the defining moment. I mean, it's like it's the most important thing that's happened on the planet in the last 10 years. Well, this will get interesting. How did President Trump react? Well, the president was at the White House with the Irish prime minister, and he took some reporters' questions. And how's the president reacting?
Well, I think he's got a lot of hand movement. I've never seen so much hand movement. I said, is he crazy or is that just the way he acts? So I've never seen hand movement. I watched him a little while this morning doing, I assume it was some kind of a news conference. And I've actually never seen anything quite like it. Study it. I'm sure you'll agree.
Who's the bigger threat, Beto O'Rourke or Joe Biden?
I just say whoever it is, I'll take him on. Okay? Him or her. Whoever it is, I'll take him or her on.
Well, that's the president's reaction. Didn't seem to be too rattled there. And it's interesting how he positions himself. Some have said he's a centrist, but a number of things that he said. Obviously, he is opposed to the border barrier and has also suggested taking down some of the border wall or border barrier. And here's another just sort of declaration of the importance of his campaign.
The only way for us to live up to the promise of America is to give it our all and to give it for all of us. We are truly now, more than ever, the last great hope of Earth.
Well, he's the last great hope of Earth. Okay. Whew, if that's the last great hope of Earth, we are in deep water. Okay. He's on the 12-year plan when it comes to the Green New Deal.
Let us all be well aware that life is going to be a lot tougher for the generations that follow us, no matter what we do. It is only a matter of degrees. And along this current trajectory,
There will be people who can no longer live in the cities that they call home today. There is food grown in this country that will no longer prosper in these soils. There's going to be massive migration of tens or hundreds of millions of people from countries that are literally uninhabitable or underwater, that are above the sea right now. This is our final chance. The scientists are absolutely unanimous on this, that we have no more than 12 years to take incredibly bold action on this crisis.
Okay, that's the mantra, of course, of the Green New Deal. And this was kind of interesting. Here's Nancy Pelosi kind of trying to get through the question on his specific accomplishments.
Better O'Rourke announced that he is running for president. What, in your view, was Beto O'Rourke's signature accomplishment as a member of the House?
Beto brought a great deal of vitality to the Congress. One of the issues in his, as I haven't been asked this question, but I just know of his record here, when he came as a real champion for the environment. He got a great deal of support from the environmental community in his district. He won in a primary on that subject. And also, he's a member of the Armed Services Committee, a strong member of the Armed Services Committee, which is very important for his district. So in preserving our planet and protecting our people, there are at least two areas in addition to his vitality in so many other ways.
Okay, so basically he brings his vitality to the House. And many people have, made a lot of comments about the environment. He's not the only one. I'm not sure I would say that's an accomplishment, that he has been supportive of the environmental movement. I don't know that that's an accomplishment, but his vitality is an accomplishment. Well, I'm sure you will see plenty of his vitality throughout the weekend because he was in Iowa for 2 days. He has moved on to Wisconsin. And we'll see if he stands up on any more tables. And an animated guy, I will say that. He's a very animated guy. And we'll see how long this media fascination continues. Beto O'Rourke, the Vanity Fair article is all softballs. Pretty amazing stuff. 626, Saturday Morning Update on WMAL.
Terry, this isn't working.
Aye. Is it because I still be living with me mother?
No.
Is it because me mates be scallywags?
No, I like your friends.
Is it?
It's the pirate talk, Terry.
Yar.
Everyone's caught up in the Old Bay Filet-O-Fish at McDonald's. It's the taste locals crave on our classic sandwich. Get two for $5, either original or with that Old Bay love.
Yo-ho!
Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with combo meal. Limited time only. Single item at regular price.
Hi, this is Simon Hamilton, co-host of WMAL's Wise Investor Show. Remember to check out our annual Outlook seminar by logging on to thewiseinvestorgroup.com and clicking on Annual Seminar. The goal of our seminar is clear. We'll leave economic predictions to the talking heads and instead help you understand what the markets themselves are telling us. Log in and see how the evidence suggests you can be positioned to properly balance potential return with risk management.
Simon Hamilton and the Wise Investor Group are affiliated with Robert W. Baird & Company, Incorporated.
It's switch and save days at Comcast Business. Right now, when you switch to the nation's largest gig speed network, you save on fast, reliable internet. Get started with 75 megabit internet for $49.95 per month for a 2-year agreement when you add 4G LTE backup and one voice mobility line. That's $600 off our regular yearly price. And if you sign up by April 7th, you'll get a $300 prepaid card too. So don't wait. Switch to fast, reliable internet with Comcast Business and enjoy 4G LTE backup. Just one more way we take your business beyond. But hurry. Switch and save days ends April 7th. Call 1-800-501-6000 today. Comcast Business. Beyond fast.
Offer ends 4/7/19. Restrictions apply. New business customers only. 2-year agreement required. Early termination fee applies. Equipment, taxes, and fees extra subject to change. Prepaid offer ends 4/7/19.
Don't miss St. Patrick's Day's weekend at Bar Louie. Green beer, Irish whiskey, and smoking deals all weekend long. Bar Louie, join the gastrobar revolution.
Coming up on the Saturday Morning Update, we'll talk with Jennifer Harper. And interesting poll that the president actually took his own poll on the media. I think you'll find the results kind of interesting. And The champion of the Freedom of Information Act, kind of an interesting story that Jennifer's going to talk about with us this morning. I think you will find it quite interesting. And the big question is, should St. Patrick's Day be a federal holiday? Now, she's got results of a poll on that, too. We got the news coming up next, then we'll talk with Jennifer.
By now, you may have at least a general idea of how well you did under the new tax reform law. Are you happy, or would you like to do even better next year? Abe Abish and his team at Abish Financial Services are hosting a complimentary dinner event called Trump's New Tax Plan, Help or Hindrance. They'll give you some ideas on how adjusting your tax strategy now can potentially lower your tax liability this time next year. You and a guest will enjoy a nice evening out at one of our best fine dining restaurants. But more importantly, you'll discover how to protect a portion of your retirement savings from market volatility, how you can still itemize even with the higher standard deduction, how the adult caregiver tax credit works, and lots more. For details on the next fine dining event, call 571-577-9968. That's 571-577-9968. Or register online at retirementkeyradio.com.
Abraham Abish does not provide legal or tax advice. By contacting us, you may be provided information about insurance products, including annuities, offered through Abraham Abish.
It's 6:30 on WMAL. People from across New Zealand are reaching out to Muslims in the communities across the country. The day after the mass shootings at two mosques that left 49 people dead, 28-year-old white supremacist standing silently before a judge on Saturday. New Zealanders everywhere volunteering acts of kindness, some offering rides to the grocery store or volunteered to walk with their Muslim neighbors if they felt unsafe. In other online forums, people discussing Muslim food restrictions as they prepare to drop off meals for those affected. The suspect, Brenton Tarrant, appearing in court, strict security. He showed no emotion when the judge read him one murder charge. The judge said that more charges would likely follow. He will reappear in court on April 5th. President Trump's first congressional veto is more than a milestone. It signals a new era of ever more fraught relations between the two ends of Pennsylvania Avenue, the Capitol, and the White House. Trump's legislative agenda was stymied even before his party lost unified control of Washington at the start of the year. He's grown increasingly frustrated by his dealings with Congress. Republicans in Congress demonstrating a willingness to part ways with the president on the border wall. Senate vote Thursday rejecting the president's national emergency declaration to get border wall funding. 12 GOP senators defecting. Syria's devastating civil war entering its ninth year this week. What started as peaceful protests in 2011 asking for government change has now turned into one of the cruelest modern wars involving multiple foreign powers. Now half of the country's pre-war population of 23 million people displaced, nearly half a million dead, many living with permanent scars or have joined militias. The Syrian president Bashar Assad's government appears to have defeated the insurgency to try to topple him. Much of the country is out of Assad's hands. Public opposition is not extinguished, and the insurgency apparently defeated. We'll check the traffic and weather after this on WMAL.
It is so great to be able to hear you.
105.9 FM and AM 630 WMAL.
Thank you for taking my call.
Where Washington comes to talk.
Michelle Murray is in the WMAL Traffic Center this morning.
In Virginia, looks like that earlier accident on southbound 95 before Backlick Road is in the clearing stages. They should be gone from the left lane very soon, and it looks like the delays have pretty much eased out in that area. Now, we are seeing some slow traffic on DC 295 southbound from East Capitol Street heading towards Pennsylvania Avenue with a long-term work zone there, but also there is a weekend ramp closure to be aware of. The ramp from southbound DC 295 to Pennsylvania Avenue blocked for the weekend due to bridge rehabilitation work. Now, from GarageDoorRepair.com, the WMAL Weather Channel forecast.
Partly cloudy for today, high 53, sunshine tomorrow up to 52, clouds on Monday with a high of 48, sunny on Tuesday, a high of 49, outside in Washington 45, we're headed to 53 at 6:35 now on the Saturday morning update.
Islanders in the Caribbean like to say that if you don't like the weather, wait 10 minutes. Hi, I'm Rick Edelman, and that's great advice for the stock market too. It's easy to get upset when the market falls, but what we have to remember is that this too shall pass. Now, that's easy to say, but sometimes it can feel hard to do. So in times like these, when stock prices are swinging wildly one day to the next, making you worry that your financial future might be at risk, here's the advice you need. Don't feel that you have to go it alone. I invite you to talk with one of my experienced financial planners at Edelman Financial Engines. Let's take a look at your investments and see if they're doing what you need and expect. We'll either reassure you that you're doing what you should be doing, or we'll give you recommendations to help you get the peace of mind you need so you can, well, wait for the sun to shine once again. Call us at 888-PLAN-RICK. That's 888-PLAN-RICK. Or visit us at rickedelman.com. That's ricedelman.com.
Alban Cat, your local Caterpillar dealer, has the deals that will help put yellow in your lot and green in your wallet. With 0% financing for 48 months or cash back, you could be sitting in a skid steer, compact track loader, or a mini excavator today. To find a solution that best fits your needs, visit our showroom on Hornbaker Road in Manassas. Or visit digwithcat.com. That's digwithcat.com. Dealer territory restrictions may apply.
If you're one of the over 30 million Americans with achy, painful legs or unsightly varicose or spider veins, now is the time to call Virginia Vein Care. Their doctors specialize in the comprehensive treatment of vein disease. At Virginia Vein Care, your consultation is with one of the physicians at their locations in Tysons, D.C., or Percival. Call 703-506-VEIN or visit virginiavaincare.com. Don't wait. Insurance covers most procedures. That's virginiavaincare.com. 703-506-VEIN.
If you've got an Amazon Echo, you've got a new way to listen to WMAL.
This is huge news!
Q Mornings on Lamar, Chris Plant, Rush Limbaugh, Larry O'Connor, Mark Levin, and more.
Listen to this.
For one-time setup, say, Alexa, enable WMAL skill. Once your device is enabled, just say, Alexa, play WMAL.
It's really that simple.
However you connect, getting breaking news and the inside story has never been easier.
Isn't that kind of fun?
Get all the details at WMAL.com.
Come on, kids. We're late.
Honey, the car won't start.
Mom, the dog just sat on my science project.
Life can be stressful, but getting life insurance shouldn't be. That's why there's Ethos. Ethos is a modern kind of life insurance that's super fast, incredibly affordable, and very uncomplicated. At GetEthos.com, there are no medical exams for policies covering under $1 million, no hours of paperwork or meetings with pushy representatives. It only takes 10 minutes to apply. And you can rest assured knowing you've taken steps to protect your family. And in most cases, with Ethos, you can have that peace of mind for less than a cup of coffee a day, with no hidden fees. Having life insurance can free you from stress. Getting life insurance shouldn't cause it. Discover how uncomplicated life insurance can be at Ethos. Get your free instant quote and submit your complete application in minutes. Just go to GetEthos.com. That's E-T-H-O-S. GetEthos.com. GetEthos.com.
Thank you for being with us on this Saturday morning and a happy St. Patrick's Day weekend. We are joined by Jennifer O'Harper. She writes Inside the Beltway at the Washington Times. Good morning.
Well, thank you, Mr. O'Rick. I appreciate that. Good morning.
Beto O'Rourke, the artist formerly known as Robert Francis O'Rourke, former Texas congressman, has thrown his hat into the ring for the Democratic presidential nomination. Some people have been funning with his name this week and calling him Beto O'Rourke, I guess because it rhymes with veto.
Indeed, there were a couple people out there that would like to veto Beto. Of course, everybody probably knows that for a while there, the journalists were just completely wallowing in their admiration for Mr. O'Rourke, who declared his intent to run for the White House this week. And, gosh, it was Beto Buzz and Beto Mania, lots of little handles like that. And the press couldn't get over the fact that he jumped up on top of a lunch counter in an Iowa coffee shop to make a speech, and he has this cool and casual thing going on, and, you know, just kind of made for the media, and they responded as we would think. But there are quite a few people out there who just were not as thrilled with this, and I kind of did a little study out there to get a couple of the comments that were not so taken over by Beto Buzz and Beto Mania, and here are a few of them. According to Ben Shapiro, he is the editor-in-chief of the Daily Wire,
Beto is a media darling, because when the media look at Beto, they see themselves. And according to Republican National Committee Chairman Rona McDonald, she said, you know the Democrats are in trouble when their biggest star is someone whose biggest accomplishment is losing. And let's move on to Fox News host Laura Ingraham. She said, Vanity Fair gives him the full Obama treatment. Where is the line about his glistening pecs? And Slate magazine even chimed in. They said, Beto O'Rourke has no idea what he stands for or what he brings to the field. Why is he running? And last but not least, Jim Garrity, he's political correspondent at National Review. He said, Beto O'Rourke is an Owen Wilson character waiting to happen. So that's your latest on the Beto crowd.
Donald Trump, of course, made fun of his hand gestures, as did Jimmy Fallon. Jimmy Fallon did a rather biting video segment on The Tonight Show, making fun of him.
Yeah, he got mixed reviews, definitely.
Of course, with all of the buzz about the Democratic presidential candidates getting into the race, the big question mark is, who is going to possibly run against the president? How will they do against him? And we all worry about the polls, even this far out from the elections. But there is a poll that might be good news for Donald Trump. And the reason I say that is because there were a huge number of people surveyed, and you've got details.
I do. And actually, I like to phrase it as this is promising news for President Trump. And, you know, Rick, there are polls, and there are jumbo polls, and this comes under the category of jumbo polls. This is a poll of 53,408 registered Republican voters. Wow. And that's coming from Morning Consult, and they are quite the polling outfit. They just do a bang-up job. And you see them mentioned in the media all the time, but they decided to find out what Republicans really think of President Trump as 2020 looms. And the answer, actually, Rick, is pretty good. And no one's particularly cranky, which is always helpful. And here's what they found. Currently, 85% of these 53,000 likely Republican voters approve of Mr. Trump. And this has gone up about 2 percentage points in the last 4 weeks. And another 76% of them support Mr. Trump's nomination. That means they don't want to see anyone else come up to challenge him. So I thought that's pretty pretty significant right there. And the support ranges from a high of 91% among those who call themselves very conservative Republicans to a low of the more moderate Republicans. And so, you know, you have to wonder, there's already talk out there as whether or not someone could challenge Mr. Trump and from the Republican side, but according to these numbers, that may not come to pass. But anyway, the most ardent support comes from those who are extremely interested in Republicans at 85%, very high among those who are over 65 years old, 81%, as well as rural Republicans, and that's also at 81%. I don't want to put everyone to sleep this early with this many numbers, but again, this is a Morning Consult poll, very promising for the president, 53,408 registered Republican voters.
So that was a poll on Donald Trump. Donald Trump conducted a poll on who?
On the media. You gotta love it. And President Trump's reelection campaign, they're a very deft group, and they do conduct a lot of their own polls. These are very engaging polls, and they use interesting language. And this week they put out the Mainstream Media Accountability Survey. And this thing did not mince words. This consisted of 20 questions, and here's just a couple of the questions, cutting right to the chase here from this poll this week. The samples are... do you believe the mainstream media has tried to delegitimize the crisis at our southern border? Do you believe reporters like Jim Acosta angle their questions to promote liberal propaganda? On which issues does the mainstream media do the worst job of representing President Trump? Do you believe that the media purposely tries to divide Republicans in order to help elect Democrats? And also asking questions about whether people approve of President Trump's strategy of bypassing the media altogether through social media. And here's what he had to say. The media has no boundaries or principles. This is what Mr. Trump said in his message to the respondents. They only seek to undermine and insult anyone associated with my administration and our great movement. The mainstream media can make up fake stories and lie about my administration all they want, but at the end of the day, I only really care what you think. That's what the president advised the respondents in the media accountability poll.
Another way to get at the truth these days is through the Freedom of Information Act. And a lot of FOIA requests are made, but who made the most?
Well, we have a champion here. And believe it or not, this is coming from a very in-depth research coming from Syracuse University. They have something which is called the FOIA Project. They actually track all the FOIAs that go out there, and there are certainly plenty of them. And the person that is the nation's FOIA champion is none other than Tom Fitton. Everyone knows him as the president of Judicial Watch. He's a very prominent personality in the media and also just relentless in his pursuit of Freedom of Information Act. And this particular study from Syracuse looked at all of the FOIAs that were filed between January 21st, 2001, when President George W. Bush assumed office, through July 31st, 2018, last year. And there were 626 nonprofit groups that filed their requests during this big, long 17-year study period. And in first place, there they are, Judicial Watch. They filed the most of them. And they were ranked number one on the list of nonprofit or advocacy groups who are challenging federal government sources. They filed 391 FOIA requests during this period. In second place, American Civil Liberties Union with 130 requests. And also, you know, Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington, the Electronic Privacy Information Center. Those are some of the others that were in the top 10 there. And Tom Fitton, he says, we've led the way in holding the government to account as both the media and Congress have gone AWOL. Most of what we know about government corruption, from Clinton emails to deep state abuses, are as a result of our historic FOIA lawsuits. Again, that's Tom Fitton talking there. And he said he says that the most sued federal agency is the Department of Justice. And since 2001, they've had 2,312 FOIA suits filed against them. And he was also pointing out a lot of this because this is Sunshine Week, believe it or not. This is an annual observation organized by the American Society of News Editors to celebrate access to public information. So there you go. Your nation's FOIA champion is Tom Fitton.
It is St. Patrick's Day weekend, of course, the big day tomorrow. Should St. Patrick's Day be a federal holiday? And before I get the results, I would just say that come Monday morning, I would think a lot of people would say yes.
Well, they just want maybe the whole day off. But, yes, there is a poll for everything. And this is a pretty innovative poll coming from YouGov. And they actually went down a lot of holidays that we all seem to like and asked if they should be made a national holiday. And certainly leading the days here is Election Day. That's kind of a controversial thing, but apparently, according to this poll, 38% of Americans would like to see Election Day become a national federal holiday, and there's kind of a big partisan divide there. Only 21% of Republicans agree with that, along with 56% of Democrats. But let's go to the other holidays. A third of Americans overall would like to see Christmas Eve declared a national holiday, and a quarter of them felt that the Friday after Thanksgiving should be a holiday. And 10% now would like St. Patrick's Day to go national and be a federal holiday. But wait, Rick, there's more. 8% would like to see Susan Anthony's birthday a holiday. 7% said that the Monday, which follows the Super Bowl, should be a holiday. And 9% want holiday status for both Cinco de Mayo and Cesar Chavez Day. And it's also important to note that this poll also found that 31% of Americans said that none of these days should be declared a federal holiday.
Interesting. I wonder how many people said they would like to give back a current federal holiday.
That's a thought.
Jennifer Harper, inside the Beltway at the Washington Times. Follow her on Twitter at Harper Bulletin, and you have a lovely St. Patrick's Day tomorrow.
You too, and the same to all our listeners. Thanks a lot.
You bet. 6:50 on the Saturday morning update. Michelle Murray is in the WMAL Traffic Center.
The earlier accident on 95 southbound at Backlick Road has cleared. Travel lanes are open and delays are easing in the area. Now keep in mind that in 66 in Arlington, from about Route 29, it's headed towards Fairfax Drive. They're doing some emergency tree removal on the westbound side. The left lane, the right lane, and right shoulder are closed, but expect intermittent closures of the road until about 11 o'clock this morning. Elsewhere in the district, watch for some slow traffic on southbound DC 295 through that work zone. Your delays begin near East Capitol Street. Now from GarageDoorRepair.com, the WMAL Weather Channel forecast.
Partly cloudy today with a high of 53. Sunshine tomorrow up to 52. Clouds Monday, high 48. Sunny again on Tuesday with a high of 49. 45 right now, going up to 53 this afternoon. 651 on the Saturday morning update.
Washington's Mall, WMAL, where Washington comes to talk.
It is a Saturday morning update on WMAL. I'm Rick Fowler. Great to have you with us. Of course, CPAC in town recently, huge gathering of conservatives. And what is so striking about CPAC is the youth that attend the gathering every year. And one of the organizations there, the Intercollegiate Studies Institute, and it's a leading conservative organization. It's been around over six decades. And we're joined by Charlie Copeland. He is the president and CEO. Charlie, it's good to have you with us.
Rick, it's always a pleasure. Thanks so much for having me.
The liberal movement and many of the people in the media would have you feel that conservatives, and especially conservatives that support Donald Trump, are less sophisticated, less educated. It's kind of reminiscent of the Barack Obama comment about clinging to their guns and religion. But I wanted you to give us kind of a picture of what is happening on college campuses around the country.
We're on college campuses across the country with extremely bright students who go on to do amazing things, such as Neil Gorsuch and Sam Alito, who are both Supreme Court justices, went through ISI programming when they were in college. Peter Thiel, who was the first outside investor in Facebook and one of the founders of PayPal, extremely bright guy. And I could go on and on and on. And these are very bright, and they're not all uniform, right? Some of them are very conservative. Some are very libertarian. But it's those root issues and principles that make a society free and prosperous: property rights and individual liberty, and free markets, and a government that's limited in its scope, which leaves more areas of freedom for an informed and educated citizenry to build a business, grow jobs, employ people, have wages go up. And we have a network of 3,000-plus faculty members on campuses across this country that are educating students in what those principles are today. And ISI, because the Intercollegiate Studies Institute is a mouthful, we identify those really bright students and dial them into our network and try to connect them to mentors and faculty guiders and our alumni and move them on into the real world afterwards, and they go on to become very, very successful and become leaders in their community, the state, the nation. And so you just have to fight the fight one at a time, one campus at a time, and find those great, young, bright students and teach them the intellectual traditions of conservatism.
You know, you say fight the fight. It seems as though conservatism on college campuses has been under siege recently. And how do you counter that movement to stifle free speech on college campuses?
I mean, it is tough, and it is a fight every day. Here's a very sort of, you know, innocuous example, if you will. We had a debate in early December on Gonzaga's campus. Gonzaga is a Jesuit school in the Pacific Northwest, and we were going to have a debate on the value of a liberal arts education. Seems like a pretty innocuous title. And 3 weeks before the debate, the administration at Gonzaga contacted us and said, you can no longer have this debate on our campus. And by the way, we want to know the faculty members and the students who were involved. Well, of course, we demurred on giving them the information on the faculty and the students involved, and we then scrambled and found a hotel space off campus to hold this debate. It was a very successful debate. 150 students showed up and talked for 2 hours debating the different merits and strengths and weaknesses of a liberal arts education, which one would think that a liberal arts school like Gonzaga would want on their campus. But the faculty, which is to this day very liberal, doesn't want debate of their ideas. And I think in some ways it's a fear that it'll be discovered that their ideas don't have a lot of intellectual basis behind it. And the other is I think that we have, through our public school system and secondary school, not necessarily held students to a high standard, and then when they've gone to college, the colleges themselves have not held them to a high standard. And so there's some fear that this will be exposed, that the education structure of the United States is not as robust as any of us would expect or want if we want our country to continue to be the great leader, a moral compass, economic leader of the globe that it's been for the last 200 years.
You say they wanted names and numbers of the organizers and the attendees. It sounds like a raid by the political police or something.
It really does. And frankly, I think that in many ways it was. I mean, on many campuses today, and some of this grew out of the Obama administration's Title IX threatening letter they sent to all the college and universities, where they basically said, you will do things this way or else you might have us show up. And part of that was to create campus cultural response teams, that if there was somebody on campus that doesn't like what you were saying or the way you are saying it, they'll call the campus climate response team on you. And this bureaucracy that almost every college now has, three or four or five administrators and staff who are there to manage, quote-unquote, diversity and gender, ethnic, et cetera, on campus. And if you say something that is out of the line of their dogma, they will come down on you. And we've had students, the term doxing, which is publicizing your private phone number and your email and your address and this kind of stuff. We've had students dox. We've had students doors to their dorm rooms, trashed. We've had them threatened, and so it can be a very, very scary place for conservatives on campus, and many conservatives, and this includes faculty, will just keep their head down and not tell anybody and sort of live underground to get through. Because imagine if you're just trying to get through college and get good grades, and you're in a professor's class who holds a very liberal perspective and makes it clear that if you don't hold that same perspective in the papers and whatever that you do in that class, you're going to suffer grade-wise. What are you going to do? This person has leverage over you, and you just want to get through the class. And so they will. Now we have other students who are very, very gutsy, and they're willing to take it on. And we've got student newspapers, investigative journalist newspapers on 65 campuses across the country, and those young people are very, very gutsy, in that they'll take the administrations on, and we try to support them the best we can, and in some cases really expose some egregious actions by administrators.
Charlie, I know that the ISI.org website has resources available. Tell us a little bit about those.
Yeah, so you can go to the ISI website or even just join.isi.org and sign up. And so, at the highest level or the most entry level, you can sign up for our weekly email, the Intercollegiate Review, which has content about conservative thinkers over the millennia, going all the way back to Plato and Aristotle through Rome and that kind of thing. And there's events that we have on campuses. You can identify, is there an ISI society on your campus or at a campus nearby? Or if you're interested in starting a newspaper, becoming a student journalist, there are also free books and a speaker bureau, so we can maybe hook up a speaker on your campus. So there are a lot of different things you can do. So it's join.isi.org, or just go to the website and click on the join button. But we have lots of things that we can offer to students, or if you're a parent or grandparent out there and you have a young person that's either coming out of high school or on a college campus, you can do that on your behalf, or as an adult, you can get the Intercollegiate Review yourself and learn about the deep intellectual history that conservatism has.
Charlie Copeland, President and CEO of the Intercollegiate Studies Institute. Thank you very much.
Rick, it was really a lot of fun. Thank you.
You bet. 6:59 Saturday morning update, 7 o'clock news is next with Heather Curtis. Then we're back with John Gizzi, Lieutenant Colonel Tony Schaefer, and Cheryl Atkison.
WMAL-FM Woodbridge, WMAL Washington.
Download the TuneIn app so you can take us with you wherever you go. WMAL, a Cumulus station.